Krishna Govinda Govinda O Gopala Nandala Krishna Govinda Govinda O Gopala Nandala Krishna Govinda Govinda 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 Gopala Nandala
Thank you. Thank you. Before we sing the next bhajan, I want to say something very inspiring, but also something which I hope makes you thoughtful. When you sing bhajan, you should not sing in your material concept. In other words, it's not that boys and girls from Beograd sing. It's not that devotees sing who have their personal differences, different views. When we do bhajans or sing for Krishna, we should try to leave the bodily and mental platform behind. We should sing, in other words, as souls who are not connected or not touched by the material energy. Bhajan, to make it even more clear, should be an activity which is done between the soul, or the devoted soul, and its eternal Lord, the divine couple Shri Radha and Krishna. When you go to the holy place Vrindavan, there's a very interesting guidebook which is read and which is quoted in our tradition. It is the Vrindavan Mahimamrita. And the Vrindavan Mahimamrita offers a very nice meditation which helps us to come on this platform which I was just talking about, the platform of the soul. The meditation goes something like this. Sit down on your seat. You are already. Please sit properly. Properly means the spine should be straight. Close your eyes. Breathe in deeply. You are at this moment in your material body. You sit here in the belly of Agasura called Beograd. Hare Krishna. You're surrounded by material elements, but you are really not the body. Move through the universe. In your mind, move away from this planet Earth. Go to the coverings of the universe, which enclose the universe almost like a football, which is enclosed by the gummy and leather. Go through that great effulgence, the Brahman effulgence, the ocean of light and energy. And there, at the end, you find an effulgent lotus, a huge lotus, bigger than this planet Earth. And there is a beautiful forest, a crystal clear river goes through the forest, and on the bank of this river you find a shady kadamba tree. And there on a throne, on a golden throne, you find the most incredibly beautiful divine couple, Shri Radha and Krishna. Go there and in this position perform your bhajan. The earth is far behind and your material body is parked in the mouth, no, in the belly of Agasura. Hare Krishna. The meditation, now you can open your eyes again. This is a meditation which Prabodhananda Saraswati recommends, and I have added a little Sachinandan Swami flavor to it. but what this does is that you purify your mind by leaving for a moment this world, and you go to the transcendental spiritual world in your pure identity as souls. And in this identity you do your bhajan. Then it's much more valuable. For now I really recommend you take your thoughts which are spread out all over the Beograd world, which is a small cosmos within the cosmos, and just bring it to the chanting of the holy name. Try maybe while singing to do a little Buddha Shuddhi meditation, that is to move away from the material energy like this and become a little, do your bhajan from a spiritual vantage point. This is my humble request to you. I hope I did not totally surprise all of you, but this is how we learn from our Shastras. Prabhupada, he said in his very famous introduction to chanting that this chanting is not done on the physical, on the mental and on the intellectual platform. That means, in plain words, it is done on the spiritual platform. It is done on the soul platform. Avakatam ritam tapta jivanam taviviriditam kalmashapaham chavanamam Nalam Shimata Tatam Bhumi Grinanti Deburi Dajana Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam Tavi Viriritam Kalma Shapaham Chavana Mangalam Simata Tatam Vigrinanti Jeburi Dajana Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
we must very honestly admit we are still a little bit under the influence of Radhastami. Radhastami was a festival which we celebrated and which has gone into our heart. So we will now sing our last song, Jai Radha Madhava, and then I will tell you how a thief became Krishna conscious.
Yeah. I'm
He is with us. He comes from Germany and he's a little shocked by your enthusiasm. Shalom, see, I'm obviously joking. Hare Krishna. So Hare Krishna, I want to now tell you something about Krishna consciousness, and with your kind permission, please allow me to sit on the stolitsa, because tomorrow my Ishias is gone, but today it's still here. Very much for coming for this evening's program. Best is you put the flask here and then I put it like this. Yes. I would like to repeat what I have said in the beginning. In this program I will try to address those who are practicing Krishna consciousness already. I'm saying this that of course our guests are more than dobrodošli. But tomorrow we will make a program where we have a little bit more public, and please also our dear guests come tomorrow. We will show tomorrow a slideshow, and I have two very good ideas. I want to bring make something with music, with flute and guitar, and then maybe we can convince a bridge Parsi to come here and dance for us. Maybe. We do not know if it is possible. So tomorrow please come and bring your friends and parents and the president and everyone. Hare Krishna. But for today it will be a little bit an insider program. Also, before I speak, I want to say again, maybe Radha Kripa, you can say it, because the Serbian-speaking devotees will not understand. Please say that there is a translation in this. Yeah. Today we celebrate the appearance day of a great pioneer in Krishna consciousness. His name is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I thought on this very auspicious day I would like to read to you one of his poems which expresses very much the heartbeat, or let us say the inner mood, of a person who practices Krishna consciousness. It is a very, very nice prayer, and please try to enter into the mood of this prayer. As Srila Prabhupada, he always used to encourage us, please enter into the spirit. O my dear Lord Hari, I have just one appeal to make before you. O killer of the Madhu demon, please be kind enough to hear my request. No, it is certainly not a useless talk for wasting your time, for it is full of very deep meaning. Indeed, this my request is coming from the very depths of my heart. Please know, my Lord, I am most degraded, and you are most merciful. Therefore, I have the full right to request your extraordinary milost. For no matter how fallen I could possibly be, your mercy easily comes down to even me. Therefore, I'm quite a suitable candidate for receiving your causeless mercy. If you were to neglect my appeal, then your famous name as the most merciful would become null and void. And then, where else could this poor soul go to find the same kind of mercy? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, please be merciful, O most merciful. If you would do this, then your fame and glories will go on unblemished for all time to come, up till eternity. This mood to pray for the mercy of Lord Krishna is something which is very necessary in spiritual life. See, most of our Western spiritual tradition knows of something which is called active spirituality. But there is another spirituality which we can call passive spirituality. Please listen very carefully to understand the difference. Active spirituality means I do something on my own to make advancement. I chant many prayers, rise very early, try to have a more than first class sadhana, attend all spiritual functions which have to do with my own convictions, choose the most brilliant guru in the universe, and do all other kinds of things where I'm actively involved in my advancement. This concept of spirituality you can find, for instance, in Christianity. Let me go to many church services. Let me give big donations, which are advertised in the yearly Christian newspaper. Let me make pilgrimages to all holy centers, and in this way, advance. Now, the passive spirituality is different. Here, the person is knowing that his advancement is not dependent on his own endeavors, on his own strengths, on his own activities and abilities. He knows his advancement is in a large degree totally dependent on what comes to him, what comes from above. It reminds us a little bit of that Sufi saint who used to run through the marketplace of Baghdad and cry out, "People, people, save me from God!" What he wanted to express is that the thought of the unlimitedly merciful Supreme Person was so much in his heart that it made him mad with ecstasy, running towards the Lord of his heart, and also that the separation he felt at times from him made him very sad and very depressed. So here, this concept of that the spiritual energy or spiritual mercy comes from above into our lives, this is very much in line of Chaitanya Bhakti. Of course, you need to want the mercy. If you absolutely do not want the kind help of Lord Shri Krishna, then it will not come. But if you are infused with the intense eagerness to get it somehow or other, then you will obtain that mercy. This year I was in America, and I also went through the Central Park of New York and passed the apartment where John Lennon was shot, and saw everything of New York. I also saw a historic space, or historic place, I should say. That is the place where Srila Prabhupada started our movement. It's a little storefront in Lower East Side, you know, Manhattan. Very, very moving place. Prabhupada is still fully present there with all his mercy, and if you come to this place, it almost feels like going through a tunnel of time, swoop, and coming out in 1966 and seeing Srila Prabhupada before you. He's very, very much present. Anyways, once Prabhupada went through that Central Park, of which I want to tell you my little story. And it was winter time, and he came by one of these lakes where there were these ducks. These ducks looked like the beggars of Belgrade, you know, very downtrodden and very cold and so on. So the devotees had gone there, and they brought some old bread, chapatis, with them, and threw it to the ducks. And there was one duck in the front whose behind was going vroom, 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 and he was quacking very loud. And but Prabhupada noted him, and he asked the devotees, who of the ducks gets the most mercy? And Prabhupada himself, he answered the question, it's that duck there who cries the loudest. So today I would like to introduce to you a very fine concept of bhakti, which many Western practitioners have not really understood. If you really want to experience the fully blossom flower of bhakti, you should become a mercy hunter, Hare Krishna. You should show Lord Krishna by your eagerness that you want to reach his lotus feet. You might ask yourself the question, oh, Sachinandan Swamiji, I am not a very extraordinary spiritualist. I'm living in the belly of the Agasura demon called Belgrad. My mind is dark like everyone else's. I'm not so spiritually, not such high spiritual vibration in me. The scriptures tell us what an ordinary person like all of us can do, so that he becomes full with that eagerness for bhakti, which will attract the mercy of Lord Krishna, the Kripa Shakti. The scriptures tell us you should somehow manage to bring yourself into the association of good devotees. And there you should just sit yourself down, pakirate, park your sacred behind, and stay in that association, and just allow how the sadhu sangha begins to work on your heart. those of you who study spiritual psychology will know that the sadhu sangha is a certain type of spiritual energy is there, which if you don't close your heart, will open the seal of your heart. You know, in this old times there were books which were closed with an iron seal. Do we have them in Serbia also? Most of people's heart are closed with the iron seal of ego. Now, if you allow yourself to sit in the sadhu sangha and listen what the real devotees of Lord Krishna have to tell you, and you do not close the heart by the seal of the ego. Seal, how do we say seal in Serbsky? It's an important word. Vechet? Pechek. Pechak. Something like this. You know better than me this sweet language. If you allow that this is broken, you will see how everything opens. And you will understand everything is there already. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Shite Karaye Udhaye. Nitya Siddha means the eternal perfection of Krishna Prema is there in the heart already. By hearing Shravanadi, Slujanan, yes, and Adi means etc., performing devotional services, you will see how this eternal perfection comes forth. Hearing from real devotees is very powerful. If you allow your heart to open, don't keep the iron seal there. Paycheck. Hare Krishna. I can't say it because I have not properly heard it. Yes. Today, I would like to tell you my favorite story in Krishna consciousness. I want to tell you how Prabhupada once gave way of a secret. He said where this word Krishna consciousness comes from. And if you understand this very patiently and intensely, you will hear what I have to tell you very nicely. Prabhupada says, I have taken this name, Krishna consciousness, from the word Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati. This is the actual translation in Sanskrit. Rupa Goswami advises, Krishna consciousness, if it is possible, please purchase Kupite. Don't delay. Kupiti Brizo. Where is it available? It is a very nice thing. Yes, it is available. You can Kupite. The movement is going on. And what is the price? Price? It is such a nice thing. Yes, you have to pay a price. Yes, there is price. What is that? Prabhupada now very enthusiastically says, you know, Tatra lolyam ekalam mulyam. Simply your eagerness. That is the price. This price you have to pay. Then you get Krishna. Immediately. Krishna is not poor. in the Krishna cellar, the Krishna devotee, he is also not poor. He can distribute Krishna for free. And he is doing that. Simply you have to purchase by your eagerness. And Srila Prabhupada told us a very nice story in this connection, which today I would tell you a little longer. You will certainly enjoy it if you listen very attentively. No? Bhaktikanta, you are ready? Good. Once there was a thief called Govardhan. He was the son of a super thief. One day his father, when Govardhan got around 18 years old, called him, "Govardhan, Sedate." Oh, I never learned this. Sedi, or whatever. There is one instruction, and one instruction I have to give you. Never go to a place where the Bhagavatam is recited. Bhagavatam is a holy book, you all know. Govardhan was intrigued. "Why, father? Why should I not go where the Govardhan is recited?" Govardhan's father replied like a perfect Serbian father. "Am I your father or not?" No questions asked, please. "Urenu, urenu," said Govardhan. So his father was stealing in the daytime, and Govardhan, because he was young and energetic, was stealing for the family business in the nighttime. Govardhan was every day going into the forest, finding out if there was maybe some pilgrim or some people who got laid at home from the fields. And he would get the people, he would rob and steal everything for them. He was very strong without any physical training in karate. He was extremely strong. Now one day he came into the forest to a nice place which was lit up with fire. There was a devotee of Lord Krishna, a Pandit, sitting, and he was speaking from a book. Govardhan went nearby and asked one of the persons, "From what is he speaking?" "Oh, Bhagavatam Katha. Very good, Krishna Katha. He talks from the Bhagavatam about Lord Krishna. Siddhi, sit down." Govardhan said, no. And he held his ears, you know, not to hear anything. But some of you know Krishna has his way to get into your life. When he was holding his ear, he was stepping on a thorn. Ah! And he was removing the thorn. And as he was removing the thorn, he heard one sentence from the Bhagavatam. "Demigods don't throw any shadow." Then immediately he closed his ears and he ran as if he had to escape Count Dracula. Later that night he had an experience which was directly arranged by Lord Krishna. He was caught by some other gangsters. The gangsters brought him to a lonely space in the forest where they had a deity of the bloodthirsty goddess Kali. They wanted to make a human sacrifice using Govardhan. Govardhan understood, oh no, this is my last day. They forced him to kneel down before the goddess. Govardhan looked, if it is a demigod, I have just learned today, it shouldn't throw any shadow. But this deity has thrown a shadow. There is a shadow. It means it's not so terrible. And he got some hope. He said, wait. Before you sacrifice me. No, I want to be sacrificed today. But allow me to take a bath in the nearby river so that I'm clean and I'm not so moochy, and then my benefit is higher. The gangster thought, well, then it's easier to kill him if he wants to be killed. And Budalatsk, okay. They gave two people with him and brought him to the river. And when Govardhan came close to the river, remember, he was very good in martial arts. He ran to the river, threw himself in the river, swam like an alligator to the other side, and escaped smilingly. And as he was catching his breath, he thought, this Bhagavatam is a good book. It saved my life. Let me go again tomorrow. Maybe some other valuable information is there. So he came the next evening. He sat very much in the back. Like some of our Hare Krishna devotees, they always go very much in the back. Not too close, please, to the ecstasy. And he heard the Bhagavatam speaker was saying, oh, there is a boy. He is bedecked with the most priceless crown. He is in Vrindavan, herding the cows. And do you know what he has around his chest? No, tell us, said the people.
Pearls, jewels.
He has placed on a golden flute, sometimes bedecked with jewels. He has loving relationships with all those who worship him. And if he opens his mouth, the whole universe is visible. Wow, said Govardhan. I will go to this little boy. I will make the coop of my life. Coop, do you know this word? Coop is like a thievery. Robbery, yes. Now I get a few rupees here, a few rupees there, a few rupees everywhere. When I can get at one time a golden crown, I don't have to work for 1 year. I will go and steal this. So at the end of the Bhagavatam Katha, he went to the Pandit who had spoken, and he said to him, what was the name of that boy? The Pandit saw immediately, this is a thief, a professional murderer. He said, Syama Sundara. And what is his exact address, please? Vrindavan, he walks around in Vrindavan. You will meet him there. Thank you. The next day, Govardhan woke up, and in his dream, he was chanting Syama Sunda Vrindavan, Syama Sunda Vrindavan. He didn't want to forget. He thought, well, let me go this evening also, and maybe I find out some more about his habits and so on. So he went and he got more information about Krishna. How he is going out every morning, The whole village of Vrindavan follows him to the end of the village. And how then Krishna goes and dances into the forest of Vrindavan, how his footprints are embedded in the dust of Vrindavan, and how there is a flesh and a flag and a Sudarshan chakra in these dust footprints. We heard all more details. And in the end, he saw how everyone was coming forward and offering a donation in the box. He went also and he thought, I will also give a little donation. It will be the auspicious beginning of the biggest robbery in my life. And anyways, if he has cheated the Pandit, I will go and take all the money away from him and slap him in his saintly face. Yes. So next in the evening, he also started to chant Syama Sundar Vrindavan. Syama Sundar Vrindavan. But when he woke up, he had forgotten the name of Krishna. He only remembered Vrindavan. Ah, what was the name of this boy? Ah, I need to ask the people in Vrindavan. But the name was not coming back. In the night he was going to the place where the assembly was, but there was no assembly. The Bhagavad Katha, Krishna Katha, had ended that night where everyone gave the donation. He asked the people, where does this Pandit live, please? First they didn't want to tell him, but when he took one of the arms and just, I don't know how to say, just turned it a little round, and then they told him, Rajasthan, Rajasthan, in this village, but please don't do him anything bad, he's a good man. Govardhan traveled the next day, started to travel the next day. For 5 days he came to Rajasthan. He came to the village. He knocked at the door. The Pandit opened and he thought, oh no, the thief is back. What do you want? His name. What is his name, please? And can you write it down for me on a palm leaf, please? I'm a little groovy, you know. Forget so easily. Ah, said the Pandit, Syama Sundar. Can't I just say Syam? No, said the Pandit. Everyone in Vrindavan is called Syam. You know the little boys, they call out, hey Gopal, hey Syam. You know, everyone is Syama Sundar. What is your name? My name is Govardhan. Well, said the Pandit, imagine I would call you Gorba. Gorba means cow dung. What? You call me Gorba? I beat you. I'm saying you wouldn't like to be called Gorba, isn't it? Oh, yes. The full name you have to say. Govardhan Syama Sundar. Now he was really chanting Vrindavan Syama Sundar. Before he left, he said, is there any special habit this boy has? Yes, said the Pandit, he likes to steal butter. Butter with something in it? Yes, with sugar, Mishri. Ah, thank you very much for this information. So then he went towards Vrindavan. He stole a big, big lump of butter and added sugar and turned it around for Krishna. And finally, he arrived in Vrindavan. He hid himself in a bush and waited for Krishna to come. Now, as the sun came to its zenith, that's 12 o'clock, Govardhan, who was sitting in the bushes of Vrindavan chanting Shyama Sundar Vrindavan, Shyama Sundar Vrindavan, heard the sound of a float. Doodaloo! Much nicer. And he saw the most beautiful boy. He was dancing, almost not touching the ground. And when he would touch the ground, the place where he touched the ground, a lotus flower came up. What a nice boy. And he saw millions of cowherd boys around him. He thought, well, this is very bad. I can steal when there are millions of people there and see. So he was following the boy to the forest. Then a little later, he saw how Krishna was putting everyone down to rest because he wanted to go alone to meet someone very special whose name I will not mention here in Belgrade. The boys were falling asleep. And Krishna came, and he came right to the place where Govardhan was in the bushes. And when he was close, Govardhan went out of the bushes on the path and said, Welcome, Svagatam, Syamasunda. Krishna looked at him and said, First introduce yourself, please. My name is Govardhan. Yes, said Krishna, this is how you look. You look like a rock, a heart made of stone. You only think of stealing, stealing, stealing. Huh? Govardhan was thinking, this boy is too much, he knows me. Then Krishna said, but don't worry, I'm also a thief. When I was small, I stole butter. When I was a little older, I stole the clothes of my dearest devotee, the gopis. And now I'm stealing hearts. We are the same profession. How sympathetic, thought Govardhan. He knows me and he's my friend. Very good. Govardhan said, are you dressed like this every day? Oh, this is Nishtha, said Krishna. Today I was a little late, you know, and my mother just put very quickly a crown, and I don't have all my jewels and everything because I needed to go herding the cows. But yes, my mother always decorates me. She's a very good mother. Every day? Yes, and the crown always changes and the jewels changes. Govardhan said, what if I would take your crown? This wouldn't be very good, said Krishna. I have 33 million servants. They are watching the universe. Chandra, Indra, Brahma, and Shiva. You really said, Govardhan, I just was asking, okay. I have brought some butter with sugar for you, Krishna. Shyama Sunda. Oh, said Krishna, Shyama Sunda. If you give me butter with sugar, I would give you my crown. Oh, said Govardhan, very good, Dobro. That's a very good deal, change. You are very intelligent. And you know my mind very much. Here, you can have everything. No. And he put it on a leaf. Put it a big pile of sugar. Now you eat, said Govardhan. No, said Syamasunda. I know you have put a very, very powerful sleeping drug into this. And when I eat it, I will fall asleep and you will not only take my crown, you will take everything and then there will be trouble with my mother. Then I have nothing left. Oh no, said Govardhan, I'm not such a sophisticated thief. Yeah. It's very pure. Then you eat first, said Syamasunda, and I will see. No problem. It's very good. Please take. Syamasunda, who saw that Govardhan, who was getting love in his heart, was very hungry and he wanted to feed his devotee. He said, you have only taken from that portion where you know there is no sleeping drug inside. I will now feed you and then we will see. And then Krishna fed him everything. Govardhan said, no, please take more, said Krishna. I have also eaten so much butter today. No. And he fed Govardhan. And then Govardhan said, okay, can I take the crown now? Krishna said, no. You are very groovy. If you touch my body with your groovy hands, there will be imprints and my mother will know that you have stolen it. Govardhan. Then how will I get the crown? I will personally give you. Krishna gave Govardhan the crown. Do you also want to have my peacock feather? Oh, it's all right, said Govardhan. This is very beautiful. You are such a fool. Don't you know that my peacock feather is bound with a very priceless jewel chain on my top of my hair? You take everything. And do you want to have the nose which hangs on my nose? Govardhan was crying and said, no, you keep this. I don't want to disturb this beauty. This is so beautiful. Govardhan was right. When Krishna breathes, the nose, the pearl just shakes a little. And the gopis who see the shaking of the nose pearl become totally enchanted and give their hearts and their lives to Krishna. Then Govardhan, then Krishna said again, you're such a fool. This pearl, mother has told me, comes from the head of Gajendra, the king of the elephants. It's priceless. Take it. In this way, Krishna gave him everything of his decoration. Finally, he wanted to take his, how do we call this? Nupuras? Ankle belts? But he was trying and he was sweating to untie it and he said, Govardhan, I can't loosen my ankle belts because Mother Yashoda has bound them so tight because I always lose them. But you are a thief. Here, bang! And he put his foot in Govardhan's lap. You take them. Govardhan saw the lotus stopula of the Lord. He was trying to concentrate, but his hand just moved a little to the right side, and then he touched the beautiful, soft lotus feet of Lord Krishna. At that moment, the rest of his contamination in the heart was going, and he felt a storm of love coming up, and he was crying. And Krishna, Syamasunda said, don't be sentimental. Thieves are not supposed to be sentimental. Govardhan took everything, and then he decided, my Lord, I only have one desire. Yes, said Krishna. My Lord, may I decorate you? But this is all yours, no?
Yes, but it looks so nice when you carry it. Then my heart is happy when I see you so nicely ornamented.
Well, said Krishna, it's yours. You can do with your property what you wish. And Govardhan was decorating from the feet. Then he brought the nice kinkini bells, little bells here around. Then he hung the pearls. Then he put the peacock feather. That was very difficult because he had very groovy hands. It went a little bit more to the side than usual. Then he put the crown, everything. Krishna looked so beautiful, but very unusual. When Krishna came home that evening to Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda asked him, "You look so different. What has happened?" And Krishna said, "My dear devotee has decorated me. He has been so kind to decorate me." "Oh," said Mother Yashoda, "can I see him?" No. "He is Malaspeciani, a little special. He is best in the forest. We keep him in the forest near Govardhan Hill." So the next day Krishna visited Govardhan, and after 7 days Krishna decided to take the ecstatic Govardhan back home, back to Godhead. This a very nice leela is also told by Srila Prabhupada. One professional reciter was reciting about Bhagavad, and he was describing that Krishna, being very highly decorated with all jewels, he sent for tending the cows in the forest. So there was a thief in that meeting. He thought, "Why not then go to Vrindavan and plunder this boy? He's in the forest with so many valuable jewels. I can go there, catch the child, and take all the jewels." That was his intention. He was very serious. "I must find out that boy. Then in one night, I shall become a millionaire. So many jewelries." So he went there. His qualification was, "I must see Krishna, I must see Krishna." And now Prabhupada said, that anxiety, that eagerness, made it possible that in Vrindavan he saw Krishna. He saw Krishna the same way as he was informed by the Bhagavad reader. Then he saw, "Oh, you are so nice, Krishna." So he began to flatter. "I shall take all the jewels by flattering." So when he proposed his real business, "So may I take some of your ornaments? You are so rich." Krishna said, No. "My mother will be angry. I cannot." So he became more and more eager for Krishna. And then, by Krishna's association, he had already become purified. Then at last Krishna said, "All right, you can take." Then he became a devotee immediately by Krishna's association. My dear devotees, who are fully alive and who are half dead, please take the essence of this wonderful thing. Also, my dear guests who are here for the first time or the second time, you must fix up a decision in your mind. Somehow or other, no matter if I'm qualified or not qualified, I must get Krishna. And the moment you have this eagerness in your heart, you will get Krishna. It's the only prize. You can make many months and years, so many endeavors, but if you don't have that eagerness in your heart, you cannot get your spiritual fulfillment. It is not possible. If you are interested to get this eagerness, please do what we have said. Meet regularly in Bhakti Sanghas or Bhakti Vriksha groups. Talk about Krishna. Keep the material talk in the belly of the Agasura demon. It can remain there. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra happily in the association with good devotees. And be eager. There is no other prize. It's not that someone can chant for you or someone can do things for you. You have to be eager. You have to become alive in your Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. I wanted to tell you this very nice story. Hare Krishna.